Aloha and a very warm welcome to this podcast episode. And I have that great pleasure and honor that I have Shelby Kushner here. And I would love if you could just introduce yourself. Who is Shelby?
Thank you, Doris. This is so cool to meet you and to collaborate together. I want to ask you, I forgot, how did you find me? Do we have connections from Kauai or?
It was a friend of mine. So, her name is Katya Bartsch, and it was a couple of years ago. And she said to me, could you just have a look at her account? I think it was a YouTube channel, Instagram, I don't know. And I just like, I loved your energy. Honestly, I loved how you were speaking and teaching, and it was so relaxing. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. Yeah. So it's been a
I
long
love
time ago, and then I was courageous enough to ask you
that. I'm glad you did. This is like our first date.
out. Yes. Now we're dating.
I think Katya, I think I was reaching out to her for coming on a retreat. If I remember correctly, she might have was I was looking for people to come on my last retreat. But either way, I'm glad we're connected. So yeah, so I the channel that you're watching is probably I have like I wear like three hats. So my one hat is Shelby, the energy healer, intuitive coach, which has kind of been my whole life. I started at a very young age having some gifts and capacities around the spirit world and very heightened intuition and empathic and all the things. And eventually, over kind of a rocky pathway, I learned how to use those qualities as gifts. And not as like a detriment to me, which for a long time it was a detriment to me because I didn't understand how to manage the awareness. And sometimes it can be overwhelming and too much to feel all these feelings and other people's feelings. So it took a while for me to learn how to hone in as a gift so it can contribute to me, contribute to others. And yeah, and I started that business like probably way back in 2015. Just started doing Reiki on people. I went through Reiki training, and I think I told you in Reiki training, I was channeling more than I was doing Reiki and giving people a lot of information, and I kind of got like booted out of Reiki because she was like, no, we're not doing this here. We're only doing Reiki. And I was like, oh man, there's a way more things happening here. So I kind of had to advance my teachings and trainings to something that would fit the capacity that I had. So I found different healers in where I was living at the time that guided me in different ways. And then eventually I started working for a CEO of a very big company called Overstock.com. And here in the US, it was as big as Amazon at one time, but now it's kind of not. I think they actually merged with another company called Bed Bath and Beyond here in the US. But it's no longer like a big company. But I was managing the CEO's company as far as all the health and wellness in the company, and working like pretty heavily in the corporate world, which is a very unhealthy environment usually. So to bring in some, health practices that really cared for the employees as a whole was so, like, it was so rewarding. So I did that for a few years, and then the CEO left the company, and I decided to leave as well because it was too the corporate world was just not for me. Like coming in from 9 to 5, I don't function that way. It's just it's not efficient for me, as I think a lot of people, the 9 to 5 is kind of an archaic way of working. We are creative at 1 in the morning. We are creative at, other parts of the day. So I just decided to leave that. Like, it was a lot of safety in that financially, and I just decided to leave that because my health was being affected, and just trusted that I would just take this gift and this capacity and start my own business. And
Wow.
it was, I'm not gonna lie, it was rough for a first year. It was like, oh my God, what did I do?
Still thinking that what I'm doing here.
Dang. I had it pretty good. No, I had to learn. What I had to do was it actually brought up a lot of my scarcity and a lot of my money relationship with money. So big. Oh my God, for years. Still working on it, but I just learned so much about relationship with money and belief systems about money. And that's what I do with my clients just to this day, is working on belief systems that basically shape your reality. Big component of that is what I do, alongside like all of the woo stuff, like past life regression, entity removal. These are things that I don't use these terms with everybody because I start using the word like cord cutting and entities, and they're already not even listening. So I have to like very be careful about how I word it. But I do all of that stuff, the most deep into the spirit world you could go. And yeah, I'll just gonna pause there. Take a breath.
And you said, so it was like three heads. So the first was that you started as a with Reiki, and then you were in the corporate world, and then
Oh, so the three hats. So that's one hat. I just described all that as one hat. That's one. That's one hat.
I know that my life is like, I don't have that, that one pathway when someone asks me what you're doing, just like, do you have time?
Exactly. Exactly. So that was like one area. And then, so I had, developed a pretty successful business there. And then I was living in Park City at the time, Utah. And then I moved back to Hawaii. I moved back to Kauai. And I had this whole experience back in Kauai. I was partnering up with a guy there. We started this like ecstatic dance kind of yoga wellness center, and just had the most amazing time. Like, it was so much fun and so creative, and I was still doing my clients doing calls like the whole time, but I was entering into this whole other world, which was dance and music and way more fun than like kind of serious, doing serious coaching. And so I was just having a blast, and we would have these DJs that would come through to play for the ecstatic dance. And they would come through, big DJs would come through because they would be playing in Maui. And then they would come through Kauai. We'd ask them to come play a set before they go home. So we would have some talented people come through. And I was just like in awe of this. And I remember not, I don't think we only had one female DJ. And she came through at the time, and I can't remember who it was. I wish I could remember. But when I saw her DJing, I was like, I want to do that. I want to do that. But I thought, there's no way. I'm so technologically like not savvy, and like I just can't, I can't, like I just looked at the equipment, and there's like, there's no way. This would be so hard. They can't even comprehend learning how to do this. So I just kind of was like, a pipe dream that I had. But I had my boyfriend at the time, kind of what he was a DJ, so he was showing me a little bit, a few practice sessions. But I still was like, this is over my head. And then right before COVID, I moved back to Park City, and kind of had like a divine guidance to be like, okay, you need to go back. And then COVID hit, and I was kind of just locked up in this apartment that I had got when I got back, and didn't have a lot of friends. A lot of my friends were all coupled up, and I just, I was doing my coaching business. My coaching business was thriving during that time because it was all over the phone. But I was like, there was no outlet for creative or anything. So I thought, this is the perfect time. I'm going to teach myself how to do this. So I bought this little, it's called like a D Pioneer DDJ 400, tiny little controller. I watched a lot of YouTube videos. And because I'm a Leo, and I like I it's funny, like I need an audience. An audience like inspires me or like motivates me. So I would go live on Facebook at the time and just like video, like record myself doing these practice sessions. And I would, make the background all cute and like make it, kind of a thing. And that was my social connection, and that was like my creative outlet. So that was really fun. So I did that all through COVID, and I kind of started to I would get all of my friends to come over because I lived in this apartment building with this really cool outside deck. And I would get all my friends to come over, and I would like host these parties, but it was just a reason for me to DJ. So they would come, and I would DJ, and I'd make them listen to me DJ, and they would have a good time. So that was fun. It was cool. And then I moved down to the city, and when I got to the city, I just thought, what the heck, this sounds kind of fun. Maybe I could try to DJ maybe somewhere small, coffee shop or something. And because there was not a lot of female DJs at the time, in the city, now there are, but I just started getting a lot of gigs. Like I would go into like a place that I would like, oh, I'd love to DJ here, and I would talk to the owner, and they would be like, sure, when do you want to start? I'd just be like, really? I was playing like brunch rooftops in the premier places in the city, like just out of the gate. And I thought it was hilarious because I was like, this is so silly that I am like doing this. This is crazy. Yeah. So doors just kept opening, opening, opening. And I just kind of like ran with it. And I was like, wow, I will pause and say a lot of manifesting came with this. So I did a lot of I don't know if you're familiar with Neville Goddard, his work. He does a lot of like imagery, and you like envision yourself somewhere, like right before you go to sleep, and you keep envisioning that same scene over and over again. So I did a lot of that at the time, and I was envisioning me DJing at these different places, and then I would go in, and they would just say okay, and I'm like, wow, this is crazy. So I am I should I am I talking too much? Okay. So what I did was, a friend of mine, she her and I took a trip to there's this place called Mérida, Mexico, Mérida, Mexico. A beautiful, beautiful, just cool city, colonial city, Mayan city. It's just one of the coolest places in Mexico I've ever been. So we took a trip there. And I thought, you know what? I'm gonna come back here, and I want to DJ at some of these places that we went to. They're so cool. So I spent some time connecting with some people just over Instagram at these different places that we had gone to, and I had literally set up an entire like tour through Mérida, Mexico. So I went back a couple months later and DJed all through this the Mérida, Mexico, which was so much fun. It was the coolest trip ever, and I'm just like, I can't believe I did that. How did I even do that? What was I even doing? And it was over the Day of the Dead. It was over that time, so it was incredible. It was so cool.
How long was that? when you were
How
like
what?
touring through Mexico. How long was that?
We were only there. I was only there for about 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
But my friend and I, we go there quite a bit. She actually just is building a house there now, so we kind of go back and forth a lot. So it's very cool.
You run retreats there.
Not there, but in Tulum, which is like 4 hours away from each other. But yeah, Tulum is a different vibe. But yeah, so then that's the second hat. And then the third hat, which is just something that has come up within the last year, is I partnered up with my partner now, and we so a friend of mine who lives in LA, he was saying, hey, there's this thing going on in LA right now where people are doing kind of like daytime coffee parties. And he's like, I know you're way into coffee and you're way into music, so you should do this in your city. And I thought, I don't know, this sounds like a lot of work, and I don't know if Salt Lake City is ready for it. But something just kept saying, do it now, do it now, do it now. And I was like, I don't want to do it now. I was like, do it now.
I know those moments. Yeah.
So I literally was like, okay, it was like a sense of urgency. Like it had to, like there was like a window of opportunity, and if I missed it, it was gone. So in like one night, I created a whole Instagram page, a website, and we started our first one because I had a lot of friends who were coffee shop owners. We started our first one in a coffee shop that I used to work at way back in the day, and it went off with a bang, and we basically did two of these morning DJ coffee sets. So it's like your favorite coffee shop in the morning. You have, a DJ playing, and they play from like 10 a.m. to 1, and it's a good community place for people to come and collaborate and chat. And it's not the club scene, so it's a different vibe. So it went off. So it's been going now for a year, and we just finished our we're just going actually we're going to do our next one on next week, the day before the holiday here, Thanksgiving in St. George, and then we're going to have our Christmas one up here on the 13th. So it's so fun. That's the it's called Breakfast Blend.
How do you handle all the things you do?
I also have a lot of time. I have
Okay.
a lot of time. I don't
Wow.
know. I like I said, I work when I get that inspiration, like I think you probably know human design, right?
Yes.
So manifesting generator.
Yeah, me too. I'm an MG too. Yes.
But for some reason it's like I could be like doing nothing for 2 days, and then all of a sudden I have my emotional wave. I'm out of my emotional wave, right? I come back
Oh,
up.
so you have a emotional authority. I have the sacral
Yeah.
authority.
So it's like when emotions are high, it's like nothing goes. But then when I come back up, I can get done in 3 hours what someone would maybe do in a week. Like I'm just like boom, 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 boom. Everything's connecting. I've got all the things going, and I don't know. It's just like that's why the corporate world, or just like the that those hours, like I just never thrived there. I just
It's like you're sitting there, you're watching the clock. Sometimes you want just like the time passes by, and this is for me not fulfilling anymore.
yeah
No.
yeah I was and when I'm and
Not
I
work like
wasn't
clock. It does not work. I work by
nope
my energy. So yeah.
yeah
My energy
So
level.
yeah, and I know when there's things happening in my life that are draining me or making me not my creative self. And then when I recognize those things, I have to go, oh, okay, I gotta go back to me. I gotta go back to what lights me up, because that's when I'm my most productive, most successful, creating the most, is when I'm like happy.
Yeah. What comes up, and the question is, how do you stay consistent? Or does that word work for you in your universe?
consistent. I don't know. You just show up. You just have to show up. Like I still also teach Kundalini yoga, which is kind of the one that's been on the back burner for, but I still have my class and you just show up, That's just show up.
So you have a kind of consistency with your yoga class. All those other ideas that you go with kind of a channeling flow.
Yeah, it's like when you, if I'm sh if I show up, then all of a sudden I'm just like I'm in the moment with whatever is in front of me. So whether it's a call or a DJ set or a breakfast blend event, it's like when it's time, it's you're there.
How do you know that you can trust that? I mean, you have an incredible intuition, right? So how do you know that you can trust
Doing it, doing it over and over again. It's like the proof is the validation is in doing it. So I've just done it like so much. And there are times when I, just stressed so much, oh my God, I'm not prepared or what, all the overthinking. And then all of a sudden I was just like, I will know what to do. I will know
Awesome.
what to do.
So it's like you have a really big trust in yourself.
I
And
do.
was that always there?
I mean, no. With the energy thing, after I left the corporation, it was very hard for me to trust that my skills were gonna, that people would pay for that.
Oh, yeah.
And it was sometimes hard for me to trust, like if I'm with a client and there was like a very strong intuition of something coming through,
I know that.
right? And I'm like, oh, if I say this and this is wrong, this could be bad, But
I
time and
know exactly what you mean.
time again, I would just be like slowly and to the point where I'm just like, dude, I trust this so much. Like I will not hold back at all. Like I had to tell someone yesterday something, but it's all good. But I was like, no, this is a thing. Yeah. It was about a business that potential flooding coming, some flooding, so that she needed to get some insurance and prepare and stuff. But I would have maybe been like very hesitant to like say that before, but it was like, no, it's practice.
Yeah, and for me it's like, how can I get started? I remember when I was working in that I wouldn't call it 9 to 5. It was more like 7 to 3. So because I wanted to have like I was a triathlete and I wanted to sit on my bike really early, so I could enjoy like training. So I had to combine all those things. And then I started all my educational trainings, and then I became a yoga teacher, and it was so flowy. Just like I built everything up as a side hustle, and it worked. And it was really easy. So I had like massages appointments, and I had yoga classes, and there was like one yoga studio owner, and she just saw me and asked me, "Can you teach here?" And I say, "Hey, do you want me to teach for you so you can see how I teach a class?" And she said, "No. I can see your aura. That's a perfect match. You have to do that." So it was just, it was just so easy. And then I became totally self-employed, and then I smashed my kneecap on Kauai, and then all like the trauma came up, and there was still a little obstacle. It got better. But I felt like I went so much with my intuition, and then something, terribly happens, which puts your world upside down. And to reconnect with the trust I had before, and also like what you said, that I can sense so much more things and struggling with, like this is really a tough time for me too. Last days we had a little pre-call and already mentioned like that you can literally feel, hold on. Now you have to be hold on. You can't do the pace. Like I had last, it was like 2 weeks or something. I had such a creative flow. And then you can feel that something shifts. So you do astrology too, so that Mercury is retrograde. And
Mercury is retrograde. There's five planets in retrograde, girl, and they're creating this like you there is you got to go inward, you got to slow down. Like I think that's kind of why I got sick, because I have a tendency to just keep going, but it's like nope, you got to reset.
And then I never felt that before my accident. So really, Kauai put me in a situation that there's like new skills coming up. And I
Wow.
think I had always lots of money. And then I felt like it was in summer, I have to switch my business into English, which was a huge shift from German to English and from local to online. And like, you know,
Yeah.
international, I love the word international, but it also like it scares the hell out of me because I've never done that before. So when you were talking
Yeah.
about your pathway down, like to trust, because I'm not a millionaire right now. You know, I'm sitting here and it's just like, oh, keep on going, like go through the process, just like all the belief systems around money. And it's so different when you are really self-employed. It's so different. And also,
Yes.
like for 25, 30 years, I was an employee to shift that. So it's like also it's an identity shift. So when you're an employee and then when you're self-employed, then you come closer to your gifts and then you're scares the hell out of you. And I had to say when I teach a lots of seminars also in the past, and now you're in the room and there's something coming up and you know you have to ask this.
I love it.
So far away from the topic, you know? You know, it's so far away from, it doesn't make sense. And then it's like that inner force to do that. And then the person is like looking at you. And then you keep on going and asking. And then it's like, I call that game playing Indiana Jones. So that helps me. And I say, okay, guys, now we play Indiana Jones. It will make sense, even if it does not feel like. And then, you know, it works. But I have to overcome that fear that I do something wrong. And that brings me back to trauma. That I think in my case, that I think we all have those abilities and gifts and magical things already inside of us when we are arriving here on that Mother Earth planet.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. I can't remember those situations. I sense that I tried to express myself, but I was like limited again and again and again. And I think that there, we have to release all those things, and also having good experiences that it's working. So I'm always glad when people like say, oh wow, yeah, or you're right, or thank you that you were so stubborn with asking. So in my case, I need those experiences that I become more and more safe with my gifts. So, did you have that experience too? Or was it just like flowy? So.
I think for me, my experience was I struggled with learning how to not let these gifts or these awarenesses kind of take me out of my power,
Okay.
take me out. I think it was a big like shift when I learned these tools that I teach to my clients today. Certain statements start, it's like you have to develop a whole protocol, just like you would learn, a trade. If you were going to learn a trade, like say you were going to be a doctor, there's a whole protocol about how to be a doctor, right? So there's a whole protocol on how to manage and be an energy worker so that you're not taking on energy or, confusing the signals, being too open. There's just so much of the unseen that the tools and practices that I learned just helped immediately. For instance, I don't know if you guys know of access consciousness. It's like a whole system. It's like a access consciousness. They do all kinds of trainings and things like that. There's a lot of stuff out there. But I remember the first person that I met who was also a healer, who was kind of taking me on as like a student of hers. I was like, how do you walk through the world so confident with having all these things around you, all these energies? And she taught me a lot of these access consciousness tools, one being the statement, who does this belong to? Who does this belong to? Return to sender with full consciousness attached.
I think that was I was watching a couple of years ago. I think you were teaching that in that video.
Immediately, like if I feel something, like I was at the store the other day, it's like dizzy, getting dizzy. It's like, what am I getting dizzy? I'm like, who does this belong to? Return to center with full consciousness attached. Boom, done. So those little tools, learning how to clear entities, big time. Big time. I didn't want to go in that direction at all because I was like, nah, I don't know, this is too weird. This is too, I had a lot of points of view around entities. And then, man, they were kind of like making me so aware of them because they were like ruining my life that I had to learn how to work with them. And that's I would say one of the most powerful skills that I can offer to people today who are open to it is learning how to clear and work with entities. So it was, to answer your question, it was more learning how to keep myself in my power while working through all these dimensions, all these worlds, all these energies.
When you talk about entities, what do you mean exactly? If you
So when I talk about entities, there are energies. They're just like people, but they don't have bodies, right? So we have, you have kind people, you have not kind people, you have, benevolent people, you have mischievous people, you have evil people, So there's the same as people, but they just don't have bodies, and they're all around, and they. They tend to make themselves known to people who are aware of them. And it's a huge contribution to this planet to be able to clear them, to release them, because they don't want to be doing what they're doing either. And sending them to where they need to go, or if they're stuck, or if they're, a lot of addiction. Has to do with entities, right? A lot of mental illness has to do with entities. And these are beings, some of them unconscious beings that are just looking for relief, looking for maybe someone to attach to, a body to attach to kind of feel safe or to live out whatever they're doing. They don't necessarily have an agenda. They're lost. And so a lot of them can make people really sick and make people really scared and take people out of their power. But once you learn how to work with them and clear them, it can change people's lives. I work with a lot of teens and a lot of people who have addiction or are recovering from addiction, and it's a big piece of it.
It's wonderful.
Have you worked with entities before?
My pathway was that I started 25 years ago with Reiki, which is not the whole truth. I started reading books about astrology when I was 13 or 14 years old. And I was so much interested in that science and then the signs that they have the elements. And I learned that by heart, and I didn't even know why. So we're just like books in my parents' home, and it was interesting. And then I don't know. I read a book about Freud and about dreaming and the phases of dreaming. And then I developed an interest about crystals. It scared me. And I stopped that. Then I started with Trilon. It helped me a lot to ground myself, to be in my body, to be really, I felt strong. I felt confident with that sport. And then it called me back, you know. I started reading books about witchcraft, like the white witchcraft thing, and about, I remember it was Archangel Michael, and I was lying in a bathtub, and also reading a book about people who had like how do you call that, like near-death experiences. And then I was scared again, and I like I you know I literally gave all the books away, and I didn't want to have anything to do with all those things. So I think it was around like a decade, and then another decade passed, and then I got that calling. It was really like a calling to become a yoga teacher. So first I was a triathlete and a triathlon trainer, and then I became a mental coach for business and sport. And then I thought maybe I have to step into more into that, I don't know, spiritual thing. Unconsciously, probably. And it was so easy to learn all those Sanskrit expressions and the chakra system and like meridians. And then I realized I can feel energy. I mean, I had like 20 years ago that degree from Reiki. And then like also that like the master degree. But then I was really like, oh, I can feel energies. It was like so. And then I don't know, yoga just like, and all the educational trainings I did with like my mentors, it gave me like safety. And I will never forget that moment. It was a moment with, she's a German teacher. Her name is Baha Yilmaz. And it was about like spirit yoga, like all that energetical part. And I was telling about my fear. And I said, but no, I feel like I stay here. And she said, yeah. Highly recommend that you do that. So, and then it got better. I did a lots of like quantum healing and trance healing and higher self healing, and I combined all those things. It's, I guess, what you do too. So you combine things, but with I never worked really with entities. I can feel energies, and I feel sometimes like that we create that, or that we humans, or they're humans that they are not aware what is in their unconscious system. And then they split that apart, and it feels like it's circling around. And I'm picking up on that. And when we talk about, this is really important for me, when we talk about light workers, I would sometimes to change that expression into shadow workers. Because yeah, it's, you know
Yeah,
what I mean, probably. Yes.
because that's
I
what
don't know if
you're,
that answered your question, but this is like where I'm from now. So yeah, how it feels for me, how I perceive that, how I sense those things.
and it's both. I mean, it's both. My experience is that you can't just, you can't just be, ignoring the shadow. There is both. There is both on this planet. There are dark forces on this planet. There are dark forces around us. There is light. There is light too. And sometimes we have to acknowledge the dark forces, like acknowledging that there is an entity here before it will leave, so they can reveal the light.
Yeah. And also I feel like I did also a training. It was about heart walls and also shadow work. And also I realized that I created also like shady parts or shadow parts, whatever you want to call that. I have a podcast episode about that. And to transform that. And I don't know if I would like create a matrix for healing, I would say, guys, okay, let's get started with that. Like, look at your inner child. What happened? What were like all the things that hurt you? And then probably you created like out of that your shadow parts, and of course your light, but maybe you had to create that because you want to protect you. So yeah, so maybe I would just like if I would make a program, I haven't done it now, but for me then to go deeper to that, really to have the root cause of all those things that happens, because as you mentioned, like when this addiction, there is a need. Maybe there is an unfulfilled need.
Yeah.
And you crave for substances, but there's like something really needed as a kid, and to give that back. And so the trauma healing journey really like it taught me a lot about also inner parts work, that we have like different parts, and all those parts have needs, all those parts have emotions, and really to nourish them and take good care of them. And
Yeah.
I like really to have all those levels when we talk about healing. So you have the mind, and you couldn't mentally, I was really strong, and we have the emotional part. I was not so strong with my emotions, even if you're in your head and not in your body, that you can't sense that somatic part. And then you have the body and like the physical part, and also that spiritual or energetical part. And we need all of those things. It's just like my tiny little universe. I see.
It's interesting to navigate. I kind of joke sometimes when
Yes.
I'm like,
Yeah.
how do you, this is like a full-time job. How do you even have like an actual job? Like managing this is like a full-time job.
Yeah. And how I had once a Instagram post, and I asked my audience, how would it be if not your boss would be your boss, how like the universe would be your boss?
I love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like I have created that, and a lot of people have a lot of judgments around that
Why?
if you're not working within the system, if you're they're saying you're having way more fun than they are, they're like miserable and they're attached to working for someone, and you have all the time and they have no time. And yeah, there's a lot of judgments around that.
Totally, totally. And maybe I'm a little embarrassing myself. I have not resolved that money topic right now, I think, but I also need, when I became a coach, I wasn't so much aware what was inside of me. I mean, you could just get started with something and then you go deeper and deeper, and it's not so easy anymore. So it's like the obstacles get bigger. And then I realized, okay, why am I going through this? And then I have a workshop or a seminar or a client or an online training, and then I realize, oh, okay, now I know. Or I have a person in front of you, so I feel like I do have it like too. So yeah.
The money piece is work. It was a work in progress, but I think I kind of like figured it out this last year. And the piece that was the final figured out piece, is the one is the trust piece. Like really,
Like,
like
I have a, yeah.
huge trust, like really trust. And then the
Yeah.
second one was being in a place where my nervous system was at a I mean it had so much to do with my physical, mental, and emotional bodies being safe and not having that be related to the having the money or not having the money. I just had to get there. And so that was a big piece. And it was like, okay, what needs to happen in my life to create this so that I'm not functioning from this anymore? And it was it, there was a big piece of it where I was living above my means.
Wonderful, Sandon. Could you repeat that? What
Sure.
happens? What need to happens in my life? Or what was it? It was wonderful.
What? Oh God.
Mm-hmm.
What needs to happen, or what do I need to create in my life so that my nervous system can relax? What needs to happen here? Right? So we got to eliminate some things. So there was a part of me living above my means because I'm a Leo and I have to have nice things all the time. And then I don't have the money to pay for them.
I love that. so much.
had to get real for a second, and I was like, all right, we need to downsize a little bit. I moved in with my partner, and it was kind of like my ego had to calm down for a minute, and it really did put a lot of it was almost like I had been functioning for so long up here, just trying to convince myself like it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. But then at some point you have to like take action, and like spirit is gonna force, like it was literally spirit forced me, be like, you're doing all this work, but you have to do the thing so that you can have what you're asking for to come in. And I did not want to do it. I was digging my heels up. So I lived by myself in this beautiful apartment in the city, and paid ridiculous amounts of money. And I did not want to leave that, because that was what I identified my success with.
Oh yeah, I know that totally. I did that with sport. I did the thing with I was like the job things I did. I
Right?
was serious. Yes, and exactly.
But the bigger it got, it was because the insecurity of actually what was happening was pretty bad. So it was kind of like, this is when spirit, I really believe and trust in my guides, because I tried so hard to stay where I was at. And it was like, you can't even make this shit up. Like they were like giving me like what do they call it? Like notices, like eviction notices. They were like saying they were charging me these ridiculous amounts of rent. All of a sudden my rent goes up, no one else does. I was like, everything was like, the universe was like, nope, you gotta go. So when I did, it kind of like, I don't know, it was an ego thing. It kind of like took me a minute to like grieve, get real with myself, recalibrate. But my nervous system was just like, oh my God, we're not functioning from this kind of delusional panic mode all the time, which was kind of like the way I functioned. And the second that, and I had still was doing all my practices, I was still doing all of my belief practices and my money mantras and all of the things. And it was like, no, you got to do the thing. You got to like do the thing. So sometimes it's like spirit is like, okay, that's great, you're doing all the belief work, but like you got to get a job, or like you got to cut this out. So it was like, getting real with that. And I've like found a better way of managing my nervous system. And now, interestingly enough, my overhead has gotten very, very low. And so I've been able to save money, and I've been able to just feel like my nervous system is kind of getting back to normal. But
Yeah,
we're now moving, because we've been in a very small apartment for a year. So now moving, and then the rent is going to be more again. It's going to kind of, not as much as I was paying in the city, but it's going to be a little bit more. But now I'm confident in like, okay, so we're moving to like a bigger place. There's going to be more expansion, and it maybe is going to ask more of me, right? But it's going to expand in like in creative ways. Like I'm excited.
Yes.
Because the other piece, I'll just say one finally, is when my overhead got pretty small, I realized this thing about myself, and I was like, I use the panic and the fear of possibly not being able to cover this high rent to motivate me to get clients, to motivate me to create the next retreat, to motivate me to do all this stuff. And it was coming from such a place of scarcity.
Yes, I know that.
So when my overhead got low, I was like, am I motivated to do anything? Am I motivated to
That place.
get the clients? I kind of like, gosh, if I'm really asking myself, like, I don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
And that's when like my nervous system went, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I know that. And I still have that sometimes. I feel like, and I need that. I need that break. I need solitude. I need sleep. I need just like do nothing at all. And sometimes it can be half day. I had sometimes one day like fully recover. And then
Yeah.
I'm waking up and energy comes back. And life is really forcing me not to overcompensate and overdo things like I did in the past. And I was crazy enough, called by Hawaii and then pack all my things and left my ex-husband and go there for 3 months. And then I had all in my car and all those things. And I felt like I want to reduce that. And then I gave away the car and I had like, I was in Austria and like I was lying in bed and probably my spiritual guidance, whatever it was, I think, yes, they say yes. Say, so, okay, now we reduce your stuff for two suitcases. I said, how should that go? And it worked. I just like, you know, there's just like the moment you see the goal and you're struggling, but then they guide you or you guide yourself.
Yeah.
And then I was really crazy. I was in Germany back and I wanted to go to Canada and I felt like, okay, now it's one suitcase. So I had one suitcase, one backpack, and a trolley. And it worked out too, because I felt like I want really to experience that feeling, Shelby, that I have all my belongings with me. And looking back to said, I would say, now I need two suitcases again. Some, because I like nice things. And I don't know if this is the end of the journey, but I feel I'm a traveler and I'm preparing for traveling again. That my nervous system is able to handle that. I'm going to the ocean in 2 days in Germany, and it's like about a 10, 12 hours trip to go there. And I feel like, okay, now I'm ready. And you know, the funny thing is that I wanted to travel before, or you want to do those things, but your nervous system is not ready. And I feel like it's the same with money.
Yep,
Because money
absolutely.
energy too. And if you, in my case, you have a low self-worth probably, and you compensate that with achievement sport and like the business and like
Yeah.
position you had. Yeah, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, just speaking to a lot of the reasons that I was creating these sort of like grandiose things. And they're not to say that like I enjoy doing the retreats, but it was almost like I have to do this big next big thing. Because if I'm not planning this next big retreat and I'm not this yoga, Kundalini yoga retreat leader, then there was a piece of me that's like, then what? Then like, am I even important? So when I really got real, it was like my nervous system was like, we don't want to do this year. I didn't do it this year. I didn't do retreats this year. My nervous system was like, mm-mm.
Exactly. And 2025 was for me like, whoa. And I knew that before. They told me this is going to
Yeah.
be, and I got that message. It's going to be tough until June 2026.
Really?
Yeah. So it got better, but in 2026, something like is really shifting inside of me. So, but I, you know, there is one part, okay, I'm ready. Because I need to experience, I need that experience that I can embody that as a coach.
Yeah.
Really, that I can, you know, struggling in situations that I feel like, okay, I've never struggled with that in the past. My ego doesn't like that at all. Because, like, you know, coming from a position of I got it all and I never experienced like anxiety and come on, girl, and you be fast and good. And now to, okay. Be really grateful for what you have right now. Establish, you know, a foundation of being in the present moment and what it's possible right now. Not the big things, really, what's possible right now. And also to accept that. Really accept that. And sometimes I feel like a billionaire. You know, I'm just like, I'm walking outside and I feel like, wow, I'm rich. You know, I don't know where is it coming from, but it's not like a mental training. It comes from inside out. I
I
just like,
love that.
I just like, yeah. I have it just like comes up. I had the podcast episode with Einat Mill on the meaning of aloha, who lived like 17 years on beaches, and they learned really to trust, and they decided for the lifestyle. And just like I read the book, it's Grandmother's Whisper, and she was talking about money too, and that her husband, he had was like had to release all the money, like millions and cars and things, and had like that epiphany to go to Kauai with it, connect with that energy. And I just like I that was just like, okay, so those things happen for a reason. So that I learned, and that whole journey led to trust that I got a booking or things like showing up exactly at the right time. When I'm like, so that the universe is not letting me down. Sometimes feel like, but it's not. I feel like, okay, I have food in the fridge. I have good friends. I have a roof. You know, just like, And to coming from that position and working yourself up, for me, it feels, my ego would say, it's harder because you have that like high ladder you build up. But I think it's really necessary that become a really good coach.
Sometimes I'm like, man, I'm kind of like ready to be done with the initiations, because I to be able to to be able to teach these things and to be the one who's like leading the others. It's like you have to go through it. And I was like, okay, I'm kind of like done doing that now. I don't want to go through it so much anymore. But what happened, it just got it is not like it got less intense. It just got easier to, man,
Navigate. Yeah.
easier to navigate, easier to, instead of like, coming in and just all freaking out on all levels, it was like, oh, I know what this is. Okay.
Yeah, and I feel right now maybe we can shift to that, like talking a lot. I don't know how many time we spend. No.
I do have to go because
But it
I
was exactly what you mentioned, Shelby, that you got started with something. So we got started with something, and you got started with a tiny little gimmick you bought to become a DJ. I mean, how wonderful is that picture? And then you started to watching all those YouTube videos because you wanted to learn that. And then you planted tiny little seeds, and they became jungles of fruits and
it's it, there's something very, very true coming through for me with this, and it has to do with one of my favorite types of sessions, and it's past life sessions, because I believe that our soul has lived many, many, many lifetimes in different vessels and different bodies. And there are not only traumas that come through from other lifetimes, but gifts and capacities. So when I started DJing, it was almost like, I know this. I've done this before. Just like how you maybe, you're learning the chakras and the different symbols, and you're just like, I know this already.
Yes.
So to do a session and not just talk about all of the traumatic things, because some traumatic things happened in past lives, is like, what did you bring forth that you are, that your soul is just waiting to connect with? Because you could have a capacity for playing an instrument you had no idea. It's just, it feels like something so ridiculous to me, but also like so familiar.
And so easy. It's like you just remember yourself, isn't that when we
It,
start with all those trainings and educational
yeah.
things?
Yeah.
Is curiosity something that just leads you back to something you already know?
I love that. Yeah.
So it led you back to something. And I just had the picture when you are a DJ. And you also like a guide, a spiritual guidance, and a coach, or you teach retreats, or you did group fitness, you're a trainer, you're standing in front of a audience, or like what you did like on YouTube's or the rooftop. For me, it's energetically totally connected.
Yeah, it feels like it.
Different playground and a different tool.
Yeah, that's you're, you just said the right word,
Yes.
playground. It's like my inner child has always been wanting to be the performer. Like, is it, even as a little girl, like I went to see the play Annie, and I dressed up as Annie from like literally the time I was like maybe 5 to 7. Like I literally was her, and I was performing all the time from for I lived with a lot.
Like a kids show and
It's like called, it's a Annie, it was a play, it's like a show. She's like this orphan with the red curly hair, and little orphan Annie. So anyways, from like the time I was a little kid, I always wanted to be on stage. I wanted to be performing. And I think a part of me shut that down for a long time, something happens in childhood where you think you're the greatest thing in the world, and then something happens that's like, no, you're not. And then everything goes like this.
Oh, I can feel it, yeah.
Yeah. But slowly, as that's coming out again, my child, it brings into play that child,
Yes.
like, It's okay to be seen now. Let's go play. So it's, I never pieced that together as like it's meeting my inner child in that way. So that's very cool.
And now you're back on stage being a DJ.
Yeah.
Oh my
Yeah.
God. Guys, let that sink in and remember what was it, because it was already there when you were a kid. I remember that my mom said when the doula said, she's not a girl, she's an actress. And I always wanted to be an actress and
Really?
also a designer. I designed like dresses. I was drawing and painting a lot, and I wanted to read. And my mom was reading a book to me when I was 3, 4 years old. And I learned that by heart. She was literally reading, and I looked at her and the pages, and I learned by heart what she was reading because I wanted like to learn to read. And then I took the book and I pretended that I can read. And I made like tiny little squiggles, and I told all of my friends I can write. I felt a little bad because I was lying. So, oh my God, you can write? Yeah, I can already write. And I also remember that when I was in school, and I think school is not the best environment to learn a language. You have to go to the country.
Yeah.
But I felt there was something with me in English. But I was so scared, and it took a very long time. So the first book I was reading in 2019 was The Grandmother's Whisper, because I felt like I'm not able to read a book because I have to know every single word. And then I skipped that with the book because I felt that energy, and it was like the starting point. And now
Yeah.
books in English. I have a
Wow.
podcast in English, still insecure, but it was already there, like
Wow.
artists, like yeah.
That's so cool.
Creative. So, is there anything you feel like is missing, or we need to talk about that? You're like highly sensitive too and very intuitive. Is there something showing up?
I just feel really grateful that you reached out. I feel like it was like some, like there's a lot of angelic ness to you, and I feel like it was very divinely orchestrated. And I feel that we are going to do something in the future or meeting up somewhere warm. We need to be somewhere warm immediately because that's like
Definitely.
what.
Do you know astrocartography? Is it called astrocartography?
Astrocartography. Yeah, I
Cartography.
don't do it, but I know of it.
So I have the sun, you know, the highest point of the sun on my birth chart is in LA.
Really?
It is. But there is also like of course, like all the Pacific Coast line is very magical.
Have you
So,
been to LA? Have you
yeah,
been?
I've been 2 times. I have relatives in Fresno, and I did when I was 19 years old. I was working, but I wanted to improve my English, so I spent 1 month there. It was called the International English Institute. It was a 4-week session. I don't know if they have that still. And then we went with school to LA, and I stepped out of the bus and I felt like home. I don't know. I mean, the whole California thing was like, I felt home. I didn't want to go back to Germany. I just cried. Literally, I cried, and I don't wanted to go back. But then I have to go back, and
That's how I feel in Mexico when I leave Tulum. I cried. I don't want to go home.
Yeah, and I have that now in different places. I have that like in BC, Vancouver Island. I feel home there. I feel so, my soul belongs to Kauai. There is
Yeah.
like a discussion about that.
I know.
I
Oh, gosh.
feel like there might be people that see me more. Like I feel seen in LA. This is what I
Yeah.
like perceive right now.
Yeah, I feel
So.
that for you so much. Yeah. Yeah, maybe we would do a retreat. Maybe we do a retreat on Kauai.
That would be awesome. That would be so, I'm so open for everything, and I just invite that audience, even if you feel like stuck. 2025 is like intense. Let's call it intense. And it will clear and it will just like sort out all the things you don't need anymore. I just
Yeah.
like, they have to let
It
go
like you hit it when
because
you said it will clear, it's gonna clear away everything that you're attached to.
yes, it does not serve you. Where can people connect with you?
People can connect with me on any one of my Instagram pages. I have my Shelby Kushma coaching. I have my DJ page is DJ Kush, Kush, and then the number 8. And it's Kush because my last name is Kushma, not because I smoke a lot of weed. It's so funny. There's a thing there that's like Kush is like a strain of weed. No?
No, I didn't know that.
So Kush in the US means marijuana. Like there's a like,
Oh,
yeah.
okay.
Oh yeah. And I didn't know, I was like,
Whoa.
I'm not that cool. I'm not into that world. So I just have my DJ name be the first part of my last name, which is Kush. People think I smoke so much weed. They're like, they think I have weed. I'm like,
Oh,
I don't smoke.
yeah.
I'm not smoke weed like maybe 3 times in my whole life. I hate it. Like, no, they're so disappointed. They're like, oh. Oh.
Be aware of what you're talking about then in English. Okay, thank you. I need those learnings because it can be embarrassing if you don't know.
And then my website, shelbycushma.com. You can go to my website. You can book sessions on my website. Breakfast Blend, the DJ series. We have a YouTube channel so you can see all of our music. The music, so the DJs we have, it's not just me playing. We have local DJs and international DJs come and play. We have some of the most amazing, talented people out there.
Wow.
Oh my God, I just get chills when I think about
Yes.
these souls that come and channel
Yes.
their light through their music. I just there I, this it lights me up so much, and I just get so excited about the future. And I see these people out there, and they're doing their thing, and they've got all their energetic signature infused in their music, and it's just so cool. So go to the YouTube channel. If you just want background music one day, if you're having a coffee or cleaning your house, just throw one on. The music quality is amazing, and it's so cool. So breakfastblend.com is the YouTube channel. And then if you're in St. George, Utah, on the 26th of November, we'll be DJing at a place there. It's a little juice bar, super cute, called HB Juice Company.
There.
I will be doing that.
I put
But
up.
if you don't see it, if you're not there, we'll make it live. So we'll have a live recording of it too.
Yeah, I put all links below the video so people can reach out. And you said exactly what I feel like this is my calling to reconnect artists, healers, and highly sensitive people exactly with that they just channel that it can run through their veins, but also to support them with nervous system work and all those things. That, yes, imagine such a planet. I love that so much. I love that so much. Thank you so much for
Thank you, Doris. Thank you for having me.
such a pleasure, and you're such a great gift and such an angel. You. And thank you, Katya, by the way, if you're listening.
Thank you, Katya.
Yeah, I'm just grateful and I wish you all the best. We stay in touch.
Please. Yes.
Good care. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you.